Good evening and welcome to the Monday, April 24th version of the regular meeting of the Brecksville Broadview Heights City School District Board Meeting. This evening at 7 p.m. at the Education Center, this meeting is a meeting of the Board of Education in public for the purpose of conducting the school district's business and is not to be considered a public community meeting. There is a time for public participation during the meeting as an indicated agenda item. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I think we have two agenda items.
We do.
Addendum items.
We have two addendums. We have a change in the dates under the Disney trip to be changed from the dates in February to April 5th through the 10th. And then the second addendum, we have an updated salary schedule for the administrative support to be added as well.
And those are both under your consent agenda.
Right.
Got it. Very good. And nice way to start off a meeting with some accolades due.
Absolutely. I am pleased to introduce Mia Zukovic to you. Mia earned Best of Show out of 1,500 participants in this year's Expressions Creative Writing Contest, which is through the Cleveland Clinic. And kids are to express themselves through art based on research, some type of medical research. And so Mia entered thanks to the High School Writing Club. And Mia explained how her poem, A World Turned Upside Down, was inspired by Lauren Hamilton's research project on spiritual care interventions. Read from top to bottom, Mia's poem displays a very defeated and hopeless thoughts that a struggling patient would have before spiritual care. However, read from the bottom to the top, it reveals hope and encourage a person can gain from religious and spiritual interventions. Mia's work made Brecksville Broadview Heights High School one of two schools in Northeast Ohio to win Best of Show in both writing and the visual arts, and I've invited Mia here to share her work with you.
The world turned upside down. I cannot recover. I will never believe that there is a God who can help me. I know that when the urge hits, I have already lost. Never again will I think there is hope. After the third relapse, I have begun to realize drinking controls my life. I will never allow myself to assume that I can leave this hospital and be free again, when the truth is I will always return, carried by a river of vodka and tears. I refuse to accept the lie that I can live a good life. Without alcohol, I will have to face my problems entirely alone. Without a faith, I have truly given up. There is nothing to make me say I will persevere. The doctors and nurses tell me to believe, and I refuse to listen. The voice inside my head tells me it's over, and I surrender. I will never allow myself to say there is a loving God. I thought religion was a lie, but the priests turned my world upside down. I thought religion was a lie, but there is a loving God. I will never allow myself to say I surrender. The voice inside my head tells me it's over, and I refuse to listen. The doctors and nurses tell me to believe, and I will persevere. There's nothing to make me say I have truly given up. Without a faith, I will have to face my problems entirely alone. Without alcohol, I can live a good life. I refuse to accept the lie that I will always return, carried by a river of vodka and tears, when the truth is I can leave this hospital and be free again. I will never allow myself to assume that drinking controls my life. After the third relapse, I have begun to realize there is hope. Never again will I think I have already lost. I know that when the urge hits, there is a God who can help me. I will never believe that I cannot recover.
On behalf of the Board of Education, we'd like to present you with this certificate for your accomplishment and a couple little gifts. A drive and the dot for your phone that everyone talks about, the coveted dot for the phone that everyone talks about, and a pin for you.
Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you so much. It was beautiful.
It was an honor.
Thank you so much.
Well,
it's national, it's a poetry month in April, and if you, is that your only copy? I would love to show that to my class.
Yeah, this is actually not my copy.
If you wouldn't mind, I would love to show that as an example.
Can I make copies? Do you mind?
Oh, sure.
It was wonderful.
I'd like that too.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah. Thank you for doing that, taking that time. That's a lot of work. It's beautiful.
That got us off on the right foot.
Dr. Simsek will bring it right back. Thank you.
Item three is community communications or hearing of the public. Persons wishing to address the Board of Ed may do so at this point. No formal action will be taken on subjects that are not on the agenda until we've had a chance to study them. Comments regarding personnel must be submitted in writing to the Office of the Superintendent. We usually limit our speakers to 3 minutes and a total of 30 minutes just for time constraints, but our crowd isn't that big tonight. Would anybody like to be heard? Wow. Hearing none.
Item four. We heard a good start.
Perfect. Item four is board member committee reports. Financial liaison?
I have nothing new.
Sounds good. BI? Wow. Appears? Policy hasn't met. CVCC?
We're in the middle of our superintendent search. We're going to be presented with a list of names on Thursday. As everyone knows, Dr. Roebuck is retiring in July, so we are currently in the middle of that. And it's also exciting time at CVCC. It's graduation time, so at the month of May, all of our wonderful students in all the 8 districts, but especially Rexville, I look out for. And it's a really great time to see how well our students have done in a lot of their competitions for the end of their career tech. So that's what we're doing.
Thank you. Any other board member reports? Item 5, other board business. Me Too Clause, admin support, educational stipend adjustment. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion, commentary? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Item 6, superintendent's announcements.
So we'll just continue with the good news. We have several announcements to make. My first announcement, I would like to congratulate Grace Bird. She is a junior. She becomes our school's district's sixth high school student to receive a federal National Security Language Initiative for Youth scholarship of at least $10,000. She is going to spend 6 weeks in China, so congratulations to her. Would like to thank Louis Rundo, Ann Jones, and Tricia Asti, who helped her teacher write the letter of recommendation and rank her when she got chosen. I also would like to say congratulations to 7 of our high school students who made it to the state math championships that was held at the beginning of April. I reached out to the teacher. I'm not quite sure how they finished, but we had 7 kids, only 100 students get invited from the state, so we had 7 of them come right from high school. So congratulations to Rochelle Raghaven, Aaron Yeh, Frank Zhu, Adam Galuner. I'm not going to say the name right. Thank you. Paul Wu, Ben Lu, and George Liu. So congratulations to all of those students. I'd also like to share with you that one of our middle school students, Harrison Powell, was chosen Youth Challenge Participant of the Week. It is a sports and recreation program for kids with disabilities, so congratulations to Harrison. And we had our robotics team compete in Worlds this past week. We had one team take first, we had another team take third, and I haven't heard how the other ones have done, but congratulations to our robotics team, they did outstanding. And finally, we had 3 choirs and 2 orchestras represent our schools in the Smoky Mountain Music Festival this past week. The festival has several schools from several states that compete in different divisions depending on music classification. Our chamber choir won first place in the 4A, which is the toughest division. Treble choir, women's choir, won second place in the women's choir division. And symphonic choir won second place in the 3A choral division. Our chamber orchestra won first place in the 4A orchestra division. And concert strings won first place in the 3A orchestra division. So we had quite a success out there in Nashville. And congratulations to a couple of our staff members. Sean Brennan has been asked to study at Oxford University this summer, so he will be attending there to develop some lesson planning with people from around the world, around government, so we're pretty proud of Sean for that. Also, Ashley Anders, our math middle school teacher, was chosen by the Greater Cleveland Council of Teachers of Mathematics to say that she was nominated for the 2017 Outstanding Teacher Award, so congratulations to her as well.
Very
nice.
Thank you. Item 7 is our superintendent's consent agenda. Items A, B, C, and D, certified, classified, supplemental, and administrative support personnel, and tabs 1 through 4 as well as... Nope, that's that. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
That
was your turn.
I have some comments after your vote, if you don't have any questions for me on any of those items.
Mrs. Burrow?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0.
I'd like to congratulate Marian Stein on her retirement after 31 years of service to our district. In addition, I'd also like to say congratulations to Majorie Bender, a bus driver, 24 years of service. God bless her for driving a bus for 24 years. Cynthia Eppley, food service worker, 18 years of service. Patricia Eppley, 24 years of service. Barbara Kishmartin, our health aide, 18 years of service. Lynn McGreevy, 18 years of service. And Veronica Prochaska with 16 years of service as our custodian. So congratulations and best wishes to all of them on their retirement, upcoming retirement.
Item 8 is superintendent's business. Items A through F. We'll take them one at a time. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Just on spectrum? Are you doing this as a consent or are you doing it as a consent?
Any questions, comments on any particular items?
Nope.
Okay. Including marching bees?
Including marching bees. The date on there has been changed, as I mentioned at the beginning, from February to April 5th through the 10th. Jason, do you want to share a little bit about the trip? Or?
Oh, sure. Just briefly, initially we proposed a February trip. We sought some input from our students and parents, and we were planning to go over President's Day weekend. So that's what we initially submitted. We did a little more discussion with our booster board and some other stakeholders. We decided to go with an April trip. Primarily, we were concerned about the possibility of traveling in inclement weather in February, which is a valid concern. So also, the February trip had everyone missing 3 days of school. The revised April trip passes out 2 days of school in comparison. And it has some advantages with the time we perform, the day we perform in Florida, would be a better experience for the students as well. So if there's any questions, we'd be happy to field.
Is it with spring break? Is that what you
coordinated? It is. This we're proposing is the tail end of spring break.
Okay.
Part of the thing that appealed to our families about February was they would have their spring break for college visits, family activities, et cetera. So this is something of a compromise for where they'll have about a week of their spring break for family and other commitments and spring sports as well. We usually can't come on a trip. We're hoping they might be able to come too. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of a meet in the middle. Go on spring break, but also give them a little more of their spring break.
And testing, it fits in with testing as well?
Yeah. We
the end
first
of course.
2 days, I think, of the fourth quarter. Okay. Should be any testing going on.
It's really notable that none of the questions are over behavior or anything like that. I mean, the reputation the entire organization has developed over the decades has been nothing short of phenomenal. How you do it, I don't know, taking a quarter of the high school down there at one shot. But congratulations. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Burnham?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Number 9, Treasurer's Consent Agenda. Items A, B, and C in tabs 11 and 12. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
The reappropriation modifications, the Fund 200, are various student activities with their different fundraising efforts, trips, et cetera. That's just an increase to request them to be able to expend funds that are on deposit with us already. Fund 572 is an adjustment in the allocation of Title I, just to get that in line with what we know we currently have available to spend in our Title I grant allocation. Fund 599, Cindy Knorr, our food services director, received a $3,000 breakfast implementation grant through the Ohio Department of Education. That's federal funding. So that's the increase from 125 to 128 requested there. We have a June 30 date to spend that grant allocation. So she's actually already implemented the program to get moving on that. So the, what's that? Yeah, it's not a lot of money, but she was excited to get it, and it allowed for the implementation dollars to.
Where's she implementing it? At the elementaries, or?
It is elementary. Yeah. Breakfast program, yes. I want to say all buildings, but I might be wrong about that. So
okay.
Don't hold me on that part.
We would start at Highland.
Is Highland, there you go. I stayed correct.
It's not March, that's nice.
The March financial statement. What's that?
He is with 2.5 million.
Yeah. Why this one?
What are you trying to do? Get rid of
the arrow to the right there.
See the air, the little, where your mouse is moving left. There you go.
There it is. Thank you. The, we have just a slide two for the fiscal year to date. The other nine slides are obviously available. This has been posted to be on the website for tomorrow morning. The, this is largely a good news presentation. Again, this will all get updated for the May forecast, but we know that we've been talking for a while about our collection rates being down significantly during the recessionary times that faced most public entities, but we were trending up in the forecast to be back to the low 99% collections in about 2 years, but phasing that into mid 98% next year and then into the 99s. We know our settlement now for March because it came in, so we're done with tax collections for this year. We know that we ended up favorable by about $600,000 this year on tax revenues. We're back to the 99% collection rates that we have not seen since about FY 12, 11, back in those years. The fiscal year and tax years are a little different, and I don't want to get into that in that discussion tonight, but the county collects on a tax year, calendar year basis. We get those revenues on a fiscal year basis for our books, but a big part of that that's happened is if you look back to FY 13, so that would have been the 2012-13 school year, we have refunds from taxpayers, largely commercial payers, who filed tax valuation challenges against the district, which is also the county and the city and the libraries, anybody collecting taxes. We happen to be 60%+ of those taxes, so we vigorously participate in those challenges in order to maintain the duplicate as well on behalf of the school district, which then has residual benefits to the other entities that receive property taxes. We were issuing refunds back in FY 13 of $118,000. We're down to $156,000 this year, but you can see what happened in the intervening years where we were at $1.1 million, about $900,000, $1.3 million, dropping down to about $500,000 last year. This year we're down to $150,000. So when I first came here, I couldn't figure out how in the heck we had all these 99%, and then it dipped down to a year of about 94.5%. So we took a deeper dive to learn, and these valuation challenge refunds were clearly significantly affecting our overall tax collection rate. So, as you always hear me say, I would have preferred to have known when we did the 99, have it right in the forecast, but we were reasonably assuming
a moderate upswing in that over the years. That upswing was more rapid than anticipated. There's no reason to believe that we won't stay at that 99%. So in the May forecast, you'll hear me talk about, I've worked on this already, close to done in advance, but I feel good about the 99% for the foreseeable future. Don't anticipate through our next wave of this most recent tax valuation that happened with the county. I think we had like 22 cases that were filed. We had a 2 to 3 year backlog during those years of $1 million. So the 22 cases, I think, is reasonable to expect will be somewhere in that 100, 150 range, which is a good thing for at least 2 more years. And so I would fully expect that 99% collection rate continues for a while, which is a very positive development to the bottom line of the district. That impacts the public utility property tax to a far lesser degree. You can just see in the sheer numbers there. But we do continue to see increases. I think one time I made the comment here, but if you drive around and see like green boxes in the ground with telephone infrastructure, cable infrastructure, while those may look really ugly on the street corner in somebody's front yard on the tree lawn, those are cash to us, so they look beautiful in some respects. While they may not be pretty aesthetically, if they're green, they literally are green to us. So those are very good in terms of producing revenue. The other one we will update, I mentioned this previously, but Dr. Simsek's office, in my office, without getting into too many details, the Medicaid program by the federal government and our state government, they were at odds over how that should be handled. They worked out their differences to some degree, but in the meantime, they pended all claims for FY13 and FY14. We received a settlement in March of about $90,000. It was 89 and change. We've received 82 of it so far. The rest, they will do a final review and then release the remaining funds. We also are waiting, and I anticipate it will happen in this fiscal year, another $112,000 for FY14. There was no way to know when those would settle. We knew we were in the process, had zero clue about when they might settle, and zero clue if we would get $1 or $90,000 or $112,000. So in total, it would be about $200,000. It's one-time money, but it's a pretty big number of one-time money. So we're pleased to have those. We'll update that forecast as well. With our recent settlement with our teachers union, we've had some significant favorable variance there. It's because we had built into the forecast what we were anticipating to be a settlement. We didn't hit it exactly right, but we hit pretty darn close. And we have started to issue the education stipend for issued in the most recent payroll. We're now working to get all new contracts for this year for retroactive increases. We can pay those on the balance of the fiscal year and contract year. We will then work on retroactive payments for the adjusted amounts for the 17 payrolls to date. So that's in process. Then we'll do the other miscellaneous adjustments that need to happen. So we do have a time, we do have a calendar of events related to that, and I anticipate we will hit all of those. I take credit for it. Lori and Barb actually do all the work. I just take credit for their good work. So. But we are in process of that. The other items that you see from purchasers on down, those are budgets that are out there for people to utilize. I've noted particularly the Peterson scholarships, and I've said this in the past couple of months, we have not realized the anticipated increases in that area. That budget has been released, as I said here today, and it happened in April. But it will be incorporated in the forecast with reduction in that, as well as some other ones where we had clear excess budget. For instance, natural gas this year, we did extremely well with our purchasing cooperative on that. We were able to take out 100 plus thousand from that. I don't anticipate that will always be the number because that cooperative pricing swings all over, so we ramped it back up to more natural levels of budget in the future. So some of that will come down with the next forecast. There's still, as any good treasurer does, it's still conservative to a degree, but not to the same degree as those budgets were established last June, because we have better information 9 months into the fiscal year. So trying to give us our best look as we close out the fiscal year, but also trying to make the next fiscal year's forecast be as realistic as possible as well. So overall it looks really nice right now, but the top part, those are real dollars. We will have those dollars a lot of this will get spread down, our budgets removed, which will still carry over into our next fiscal year. So all in all, we're in great shape financially. Not too many surprises, and those that are surprises are pleasant ones. Questions?
Yeah. At the front end, when you talked about the tax valuation challenges,
yes.
why would those impact the rate of collection? I mean, if the organization's challenging win, doesn't that just mean that their valuation is lower and their obligation then is lower? What?
That's a part of it going forward. The law requires them, as they file those challenges, to be paid timely. And there are certain taxpayers who don't pay timely. We know that. There are ones who are late pays. You're only considered delinquent when you're more than 12 months past due. We have some who late pay. We have some that are delinquent. But we have mostly responsible taxpayers here, which is why historically we were at 99 and we're back there. They pay current. They file their challenge. No one typically wins with us in terms of getting everything they wanted. We settle a lot. We win some. I wouldn't say we really lose any unless it's very clear that we don't have a position that's defensible to win and we won't spend legal money then to challenge them. We'll surrender. Sometimes the taxpayers surrender, but they need to pay for it, file a challenge, and they get a judgment in their favor, even if it's a partial reduction in value. The reduction in tax dollars then is calculated, and they're then issued a refund of the taxes they've already paid. When those were 2 to 3 years in arrears on the county docket because of the overwhelming amounts that were filed, they were getting some very large refunds that were over multiple tax years and getting those in single years, thus the $1 million years you see. If the county had been able to keep up with a normal volume, which would be like this year, you know, they're current. Unless there's one that's really, you know, a bitter challenge, they stay current. But in those years where that was not the case, you had sometimes 2 and 3 tax years being refunded once, but they were current. Therefore, they were not only getting a reduced value going forward, thus paying less taxes, they were also getting that reduced valuation from the first year of the triennial period and getting refunded amounts on what they had paid for. It was kind of a double hit in some respect to the district. And since we get 60-some% of tax money, we take the largest hit of any of the entities that receive property taxes.
So based on how we calculate, the collection rate, that those hits, because it was batched up and then you get hit all at once, that just ended up kind of being an anomaly. So to make it look like our collection rate was lower, but it really wasn't lower per se. I mean, it was impacted by these refunds that were...
Right, if you just look at current billing, current collection, we probably always would have been 99%.
Okay.
But our net collection rate became 94.5,
okay,
for instance. We also had in there, and again, this is one I'd spend an hour on if I get too detailed on it, but we had an ongoing issue with some Cleveland Clinic-owned property that ultimately became tax-exempt, but this isn't the only district that has lingering issues that happen over Cleveland Clinic taxable versus non-taxable property. But we did have a $12 million, two parcels that were about $12.5 million. Those stayed on the books for a long period of time. They were never going to pay. They never did pay. They did get it tax exempt by the Ohio Department of Taxation. And We were carrying that value on the books, knowing full well we likely would never. I've won one of those in 30 years where a piece was actually being used for not for their charitable purpose because they were renting it out to other physicians who were not their employees. Therefore, it was taxable property because they were producing income from it. But you don't win many with the clinic. And we did not, although it really wasn't our issue. We weren't a party to any challenge on that one. That was really an issue between them and the Ohio Department of Taxation to win their nonprofit status on that particular part. Those two parcels were granted. So that happened for a number of years. We were carrying that. But other than that, it was just a delay in the docket before the Board of Tax Appeals.
What about health care costs? Front line on that?
We're expecting 10%. The last Suburban Health Board meeting, there was not much hope that for next year we will probably see anything less than that. Claims are running high, a number of high-cost claimants across our now 19-district consortium. We just added a 19th district, Brooklyn City Schools. So we're probably 5,700 employees in that consortium now. No, I think the 10% that we've been carrying the forecast for this year is going to be a pretty good number.
Did they give us an indication of that 10%? You know, what percentage of that is attributable to just rising costs of health care, and what percent is attributed to our, you know, actual claims? You know, like our claims spiking up, right? Whether whatever it is, right? More people are having health issues out of our 19 districts.
I don't know the breakdown of that, but it's being impacted right now by both. There are 30-plus high claimants, which doesn't sound like a lot across the 19 districts, but one of those claimants last year exceeded $1 million. We'll probably exceed that again. We weren't able to get stop loss on them. They had to be carved out. It was a separate plan on stop loss. At $750,000 for that one person, because they're into some experimental drugs to improve their position for a chronic illness. So that one, it's high cost. And then there's about $1 million of expenses annually now from the Affordable Care Act, again, across the entire consortium, but that's also contributing to that now double-digit increase that we saw last year and we'll likely see again this year. Then we'll know that probably in August, but it'll be effective for October. But 10% is in the forecast for FY18 and beyond.
I have a question about the Peterson. So we reduced the budget because we haven't had as many people access what we had set aside.
Okay. I took an estimated guess that we saw a pretty large increase last year.
Is it like 150?
About 120,000.
Okay.
Which is six students. Well, that sounds like a lot of money. It's, you know,
$20,000 a pop.
It's $20,000 a pop, so it's six students. So we saw a large spike in that recently, and I was anticipating that on my own. That was just one of the things you guess and you're wrong. But
a good wrong.
It's favorable to us. You know, I prefer not to be wrong, but
no, they're using our services.
I built it in based upon what I saw in the historical trending on that. It was wrong. Last year we had an adjustment for students that were identified after the school year concluded. The state had finally gotten through all of its enrollment issues because they were changing systems. It was a fiasco. And we got balance charged, I'll call it, about $60,000 in this fiscal year for students that were enrolled in the program last year. So looking at that as three students, I trended up for six. Yeah, don't like me wrong, but I was. So it's $120,000. Favorably that I've now reduced because I don't anticipate finding that in Dr. Simpson's office stays on top of those students. I'm not trying to drag her into the middle of this, but they do a good job staying on top of who our identified students are, our families, and we're just not seeing those students in the pipeline. And even if we get them now, there would be move-ins where we're going to pay for a partial year for this year.
Well, that's good
and we have the ability to adjust in the fall again. So I think that 120 savings is
real. That'd be wrong, good choice.
Yeah, I'd rather be wrong, but if I'm always wrong favorably, then it makes it less credible too. So we try to get it right. We just missed more than we hit, actually.
So I'm guessing we've got some government students in the front row, right? Meet your requirements? Okay, so some of the takeaways for your class. Everything financial is public. All these things we're talking about, it may sound a little bit out of the normal conversation that you have during the day, but for any resident or person in the room or person on the staff, all these numbers are public information. A couple things to take away, if I can do a little class lecturing for a second. If healthcare is 10% of our budget and is going up at 10% a year, that alone is causing an increase in our cost by 1% every single year, just healthcare. Before we talk about anything else happening. And that's happening around the country. It's not just us. The other terms you heard that you can take back to class are the difference between fiscal and calendar years. we operate on the fiscal year, which coincides with our school, because that makes more sense for us. Most of the world operates on a calendar year. And we also, his big positive numbers, that looks like a large positive number, but that's because we do our accounting on a cash basis. Most businesses accrue, and so in other words, if they know something's going to happen, they adjust for it, they take a reserve. Here, we don't do that. We stick to cash. So you can have some fun with that in class tomorrow.
If you're thoroughly confused or care anymore, call or even. And if you're not confused or don't care, then don't call. Thank
and,
you.
Oh, my last one. And we've got minutes.
Just the minutes. Three sets of minutes. You've seen them. If you have edits or questions about that, we will make them. Otherwise, they will stay as presented.
Questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernhard?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Item 10, executive session for the consideration of the appointment, employment, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee or official as per board policy 0166. Item A, may I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernhard?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. We're not going to be in executive session. There will be no more public business conducted this evening. Thanks very much for attending. Good to see you all.